Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Snap by Tyler Yazzie is there. Kick is up by Sam Thicken, and the kick is good, and the Nittany Lions are on the board first. And for the Nittany Lions, the fourth time this year in 10 games, they have scored on their opening drive. Snaps to the Chris Gula. Put down. The kick is on its way. The kick by Sam Thicken is good! The Nittany Lions close the half with the lead. Give the ball to Lynch through the hole. 35. Stiff arm. 30. 25. Lynch 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown! Penn State, the Nittany Lions take the lead. Belton alone setback. Motion toward us by Hamilton. Belton up the middle to the five. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions cash in the Amos interception and have a two-touchdown lead. Wartman blitzes. Back goes Walker. Wartman after throws. Intercepted. Haley. 20, 15, 10. Haley to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. And the defense puts its points on the board. Good snap. Put down. Kick is up. Kick by Sam Thicken is good. And the Nittany Lions have that three-score lead. 30-13, Penn State with 10:36 to go.
I think they won.
And congratulations on bowl eligibility.
Well, it's great for them.
Sure it is, yeah.
It's great for them. Look,
fans have been waiting for this for a long time. I'll tell you what, I don't care where they go. I can guarantee you one thing. There are going to be a lot of people looking for tickets.
I'm sure they will. We'll find out how it plays out. It is a little bit different now. The Big Ten is doing things a bit differently this year, and I like it. I like it a lot. When they first announced it, I mean, the one thing you want to avoid is you want to avoid, let's say Penn State. Say Penn State's in a position where record-wise, for the third time in 4 years, you're going to the Outback Bowl. Now, if you want to sell tickets, that's not easy to do, to look at everybody and say, hey, we're all going to go to Tampa St. Pete again. By putting matchups together and having the flexibility to do that, you can get what you think on paper are really good matchups, but also at the same time, you can vary the trips up for Big Ten fans. It is important, for example, that the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, which is it's the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl, I should point out. It's the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl. That the Citrus Bowl and the Outback Bowl remain as New Year's Day bowls, New Year's Day worthy. After that, you can set up any way you want. Get a good matchup in the Holiday Bowl. That's the third selection. Pinstripe Bowl gets the fourth selection. Because at that point, it becomes the selection process. And, for example, the Pinstripe Bowl is not married to record, but they have the fourth pick. I know a lot of people have targeted that game. Well, there's a reason that people have targeted that game. And so the bowl system is not the same as it was. Now, if they win the last two games, then maybe we have a different conversation. Maybe the last two games you become worthy and maybe you go someplace else. I don't know. But I believe it goes Holiday, Pinstripe is 4, and I think Gators 5, San Francisco 6, I think, in terms of how they selected and how they put the matchups together. And now they can go play Illinois, and that part now is off the table. And for the seniors on the team, you have several players. You have some players in this team that are going to be juniors or redshirt sophomores. They've never been to a bowl game. They've never been to one. And for the kids that were seniors, their last bowl trip let's face it, was not exactly a reward. That was torturous. As people know, there was a meeting about the play. Now, the Penn State did not have an option, by the way. I mean, I know a lot of people think, the players may not want to play in the game. Had no option. You're contractually obligated to play in the game. So they will play in it, and then we'll find out on December 7th for sure. They have a selection show. I think it's at 6:30 in the evening on December 7th.
There's a selection show for everything now.
Well,
used to be we'd wait until Monday before we'd hear anything, but now there's a selection show for everything.
I know. I understand. Well, everything's a show now.
Well
the games themselves,
I get it.
The games themselves are a show.
Sure.
Why is Penn State at noon on Saturday? Okay, because that's the... On ESPN2, that's the TV show at noon. Why is Penn State Michigan State at 3:30? Because that'll be the TV show at 3:30. Why is Penn State basketball, their schedule's all over the map. Although for the most part they're going to be a Wednesday Saturday deal this year, which is they're transitioning back, which is good. A little more dependability in the schedule. But why is it like that? Why are the start times all over the place? Why do you have 3 6-day windows? Why? Because sports is now a TV show. All the bowl games, you don't have bowl games head-to-head against each other, or at least rarely. Some are, like Citrus and Outback are head-to-head. New Year's Day is a little bit different, but they have fewer New Year's Day games. But why are they staggered out the way they are? With very little overlap, if any overlap, because it's TV shows, it's TV programming. So, why not a selection show? It's all part of the TV process. College football is about to explode, I think, into its greatest era of popularity on TV. And the stands will see. They have to be able to handle that part right. But look at the ratings that were put together this past weekend. Saturday, ratings-wise in television, Saturday's a graveyard. If you are a TV show and say you're on Tuesday night and suddenly your new time slot this year is Saturday evening, you've taken one step toward cancellation. That's the way it is. A lot of people are out and about on Saturday night having a good time. I don't care, especially in the 18 to 49 group. A lot going out, going to the bars, having a good time, whatever, going to dinner, whatever it happens to be. Saturday night is not a great TV night. Florida State Miami did a 6.1. Mississippi State Alabama got, like a 3 or 4 rating or something like that. Huge TV rating. Those are big numbers. And the college football playoff, I think, has everything to do with that because now you feel like you're watching. People want to see games with stakes. And that's a big part of it. People want to see games with stakes. You see Florida State play Miami? Miami could knock Florida State out of it. Alabama, Mississippi State, you feel like the survivor is going to be the one that's still in it. And I think in college football, the popularity of it, which had been diluted by the proliferation of cable. That's why the Penn State-Miami thing's never going to be matched. The 24 rating, they'll never get that again. Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick.
Hello, Steve Jones. How are you? Hey,
I'm doing well.
Two or three comments, and then I had a question for you. First of all, I wanted to thank you for having Coach Paulson Coach Susan on. I'll tell you what. Bucknell is fortunate to have Joe Susan, among their other coaches. He is probably one of the classiest coaches anywhere in the United States in college sports. He's a complete gentleman. And that was my comment about Joe. My other thing, I wanted to congratulate Penn State, obviously, on qualifying for a bowl game and winning. I was at the game on Saturday, and it was an exciting game in a sense. But along with that, I just counted, there's 34 bowl games. Do you think that's right. maybe a point where they're reaching a little overkill in a sense?
ESPN, Dick, owns most of them. So you take 34, let's just say safely times 5. You know, they've guaranteed themselves 175 hours of programming.
Right.
And they own most of that. And I don't, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, look, there's 2 6-6 teams playing each other in a bowl game. The ratings tell you people watch. I mean, that's the thing that is amazing. When you look at the ratings the last 2 years, bowl games that the purists, oh, the New Orleans Arnold Carrier, you got a, what do you mean it got a 1.7 rating? People watch. And that's the amazing, people are, can't get enough of football, Dick, and they can't get enough of college football. And if I'm running ESPN, I have this many bowl games, and I'm saying, hey, let's just fill the slots and have fun.
You don't think there's a problem marketing as far as advertising commercials at time?
That doesn't. Yeah, I don't think it's become. I don't think it. The ratings are good, and everything's based on ratings. I give you the. I always use the example of a couple of years ago, Indiana was a Final Four team, and Butler was coming off the Final Four, so it was a really good game on CBS. Indiana Butler on a Saturday in December. Right? The Gildan New Mexico Bowl was being played opposite with, I don't know, I think it was Wyoming and Temple. Guess what won?
The
Gildan New Mexico Bowl.
Yeah.
People love, look, I know when I'm going about my holiday whatever, there's a bowl game on. I'll watch the bowl game. I feel like it's a part of my sports holiday fabric. I enjoy them because I just like watching football. Yeah, I mean, other people may not, but I do.
Well, this might be kind of old school to kind of date myself, but, and you know, I'm old enough to remember when there were 4 major bowls, and then they added, like, the Gator Bowl, and then they added a couple more. So, you know, basically on a holiday, Christmas, or mostly New Year's, obviously, there might have been at the most 4, 5, 6, and then 7 bowl games, and that was pretty much right. it for the longest time. And then they started adding, you know, all the other ones along with them. And now, as I say, it's reached. Mm-hmm. The only reason I knew there were 34, somebody just projected all the teams. I mean, that's just conjecture, obviously. And I counted, and there were 34 bowl games up from whatever they start to whenever they obviously end for the national championship game. And
did that include the playoff?
Yeah,
I think there's more than that.
Included everything. Actually, I guess they considered that a bowl game.
I think there's 37. I think there's 37.
Well, maybe there are. I thought I just counted all of them. I just had them on my screen here in front of me, and I was counting. I thought there were 34, and I could be wrong about it. There was a lot. You know, you almost lose count after a while. There's so many of them, you know, when you're going through them. And and then, of course, now they're playing in sub-freezing weather in places that New York Yankee Stadium, but that's just the way it is. I mean, obviously, Penn State's going to get a bowl game, and that could be the one. Maybe it isn't. I don't even know.
I do have some good news, though, guys. I did see one projection of the Foster Farms Bowl, which puts it in Santa Clara, California.
Of Penn State?
Yeah. Yes, Penn State, Arizona is one prediction for the Foster Farms Bowl, and that used to be the Fight Hunger Bowl.
Well, I saw them projected to play Clemson in New York City.
Clemson is another one in the Pinstripe Bowl, and Louisville is another one in the Pinstripe Bowl that Penn State was projected to play.
And Georgia Tech and Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is the other one, yep.
Well, however it ends up, it'll only be 2 teams there. It won't be a round robin.
No, but that's an intriguing idea, though.
Yeah. I understand that. And my other question for you was, and of course I go to Penn State wrestling and some football, but my buddies go, do you do much hockey coverage on Penn State hockey coverage on here at all on your show? I mean, it's really getting big time.
Well, we've had Guy Gadowski on the show, what, how many times now? 5, 6 times?
Well, yeah, because I don't listen, obviously, every day, and I guess I've never heard it, and I heard of the wrestling coverage and stuff, and my friends have asked me, they're phenomenally, they're hockey addicts almost.
Well, they won over UMass Lowell 4-1 on Saturday night, and UMass Lowell's ranked 4th in the country, and they beat them, and that was huge. And Matthew Scaife, who has already been drafted in the NHL, is the goaltender, is a big-time player, really good player. And I know when I went to the Bentley, I went to the Bentley game. They beat Bentley 3-2. Bentley went up 2-0. Bentley, shorthanded, had a breakaway, and Scaife turned to the side, and I was the between periods guest on the radio network. And I said, that'll be the save that wins them the game. They went, really? That's because Penn State played lousy in the first period. Penn State won the game 3-2. He's a good player.
Well, hockey's going to be, obviously, that may be, other than wrestling, it'll be the toughest ticket on the campus pretty soon.
Yeah, right now, yeah. And it's the right size arena. It's the toughest ticket, without question. And wrestling's a tough, tough ticket as well. They both are. And I think they're both doing, obviously, you know, they're both entertaining. A lot of people love it. And I think it's fun to have them on campus.
They're excellent. I mean, they're playing well. And I don't know this would ever happen, would there ever be a possibility, maybe there's just not enough days, that they would have a minor league hockey team playing there also?
That's a good question, but you know what? I think that would be an awful tough sell. I think the college part of it's exciting. I think a minor league team, it's a little bit different than the dynamics of a minor league baseball team in the summer where it's such a community deal. I think a minor league hockey team would require too many dates, and I don't think that they would have the flexibility to do that.
That's what I kind of wondered, how many, if there would be enough days to even play.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue right there.
Okay. Well, anyhow, congratulations again to Penn State. I'm glad to see they're back in a bowl game. Temple also was listed in a bowl game, so obviously we watched two bowl teams play on Saturday.
Well, Temple has to win one more. They're not there yet.
Well, they had them projected already. I guess I don't even know who they play anymore. This year, obviously, it must be somebody they can beat. They were okay. The big thing about Penn State was having their two extra offensive new linemen back in the lineup really makes the difference there, blocking wise. Oh. Obviously, it was a whole different offensive line.
No question. Having Diefenbach and Donovan Smith side by side, I interviewed Diefenbach yesterday for TV, and I said to him, I said, when you got in the huddle and for the first time all year, you know, you saw Donovan Smith, I said, what did the two of you do? He said, we looked at each other and said, and gave a nod, it's old times.
Well, it was, you could tell a difference on the offensive line, obviously, and I'm hoping that everybody could appreciate not being there, not appreciate, but what they weren't there all year, what a difference it made. It really did, you know.
Well, it's very important because in your projected offensive line in March, there were the two cornerstones you were banking on. You finally have them together for the first time in Game 10.
Well, they sure look good, and those young defensive backs are going to be killers after a while. That's my term, not somebody else's. I mean, they're pretty young, and they're good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, guess what? With Apke, Campbell, and Haley. Now, I left out Marcus Allen for the moment, but those are three of the four fastest football players on the team.
Yes, I can believe that. Well, anyhow, good show. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks so much, Dick. We're going to have next half hour Dave Bryant, SteelerDepot.com, to break down the game that Kevin's actually been anxiously waiting for all weekend. You excited? Huh?
I'm ecstatic.
Little Monday night party, huh? Are you ready for some football?
I love Monday night football.
Don't sound enthusiastic. This is what I see where you are. August is important because it's the month you do the least amount of work. All right, so that's important to you. All right.
Can't deny that. I mean, I do the least amount of work in August. You're right.
And there's the anticipation because nobody's lost yet.
Yes.
And then once the season starts and disappointment happens,
everything goes down the Johnny Flusher.
You can't handle it. You like it when there's nothing at stake. Bye weeks are good to you.
Yeah, there's one of those coming up too.
I mean, the three to 4 hours the game is on, it's awfully hard for you.
It's nerve-wracking.
We'll take a break. I'm sure Purdy Insurance can insure your nerves. Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford is going to make sure you don't feel like a turkey when you buy your next new vehicle. Like always, all prices are clearly marked. Nothing hidden, just plain low prices. Sunbury Motors has 30 2014 F-150s that must go this month to make room for the 2015s. Save up to $8,000 on Super Cabs and Super Crews. Sunbury Motors has 14 Ford Edges with $5,700 off or $3,200 off plus 0% for 60 months. Hurry in to claim your brand new Ford Edge. Sunbury Motors still has a great selection of 2014 Focuses with $4,700 off or 0% for 72 months. Makes getting into a new Focus more affordable than ever. If you're going to buy a new Ford, why wouldn't you buy it from the dealership who has been satisfying more customers for nearly a century? Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And at sunburymotors.com.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, despite dropping to 4-6 on the season with a 1-5 record in the Big Ten, Tim Beckman says his team's morale is no different than it was a week ago at this time. Bad. All right, so.
I don't think I've ever heard a coach say that morale is bad.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, I've heard.
Never.
I've heard putting it, well, you know, we're struggling a little bit, yada, yada, yada. Never heard bad. It's like a coach coming out and goes, well, we stink.
Well, I've heard a couple of us say that lately.
Oof.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Steelers take on the Tennessee Titans tonight. Kevin already in lockdown. Huh? You excited, Kev?
I'm not watching any of the pregame shows. I can tell you that.
Why? I'm sure they'll dissect the Jets-Bucks deal.
That's exactly why I'm not watching.
All right. Remember, it's a little slick out there tonight with the temperature dropping down to 18, so watch for icy spots. Well, Dave Bryan, what do you think? The first quarter and a half of this game going to be important as to your read?
Well, I think they want to start. I mean, look, when you look at the forecast, you were just talking about the weather right there. When you look at the forecast, what's going to happen in Nashville tonight, looks like it's going to be freezing, most definitely. It's at that point right now. I just checked out the forecast, and it's going to drop even farther. There might be some snow flurries. It's a perfect night to try to run the football, for sure. And this is a Steelers team that hasn't been able to stick with the run, nor have they ran well the last several weeks, even in that three-game winning streak of theirs. They didn't necessarily run the football great. This is a Titans defense that they're playing tonight that has struggled against the run on top of it. I think they're 28th or 29th in the league as far as yards per yards allowed per game, somewhere around 18th or 19th in yards allowed per rush. So, you know, that's what I do first and foremost is I try to establish the run in this game. And hopefully that sets up some play action and the deep ball from there, because Ray Horton, the Titans defensive coordinator, of course, is an ex member of the Steelers coaching staff, and he, you know, he's going to be sending some pressure after Roethlisberger in this game on obvious passing down. So that's what I do. And as far as the other side of the football there, you've got a rookie quarterback in Zach Mettenberger that I think if you are able to shut down the running game of Tennessee early and get this kid into third and long situations, I think you can force him into some mistakes.
Yeah, you can release the hounds, no question. What kind of run defense does Tennessee have?
It's not great. It really isn't. They can be run in between the guards or outside the end. And I suspect with the Titans, and David DeCastro on that offensive line for the Steelers, I think you want to run right over right guard there as much as possible. Sammy Lee Hill, one of their defensive tackles, has been on the injury report this week. We don't know how serious it is. But, you know, it just signs are pointing that way, that you want to try to establish that run with Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount early. And I think the Steelers should be able to run on them as well. Look, you know, they've got plenty of motivation, too, with Mike Munchak, the offensive line coach, wanting to go out there and show his former team that he is a huge asset with the Steelers. And what better way than to just force your will on another team by running the football.
And he has been such a plus. Can you put a value on what Mike Munchak has been to the development of these young offensive linemen?
No, I mean, we've definitely seen some improvements, especially with a lot of, I mean, let's face it, the Steelers have all these draft picks in this offensive line, stored
right
in this offensive line. So now, you know, there's been times this season where it's been absolutely great, especially at pass protection and then being able to pick up these twists and these stunts. Now, the last couple of games, they've kind of, you know, had a backslide a little bit there with some pass protection problems. But, I think they'll get that straightened out. And I think tonight, if things go the way I think they're going to go, I think you're going to really see how good a run blocking team this Steelers offensive line can be. It's obvious that he's made a huge difference in this team. The linemen all speak glowingly about him, but of course the proof is in the pudding, and
right,
that proof is in the win column, and they need to notch their seventh win tonight.
When you look at Tennessee on tape and you look at Mettenberger, whom I thought was a very good quarterback, by the way, at LSU, I think if he hadn't had a couple of off-the-field problems, he probably would have been a higher draft pick. What do you see in him that could give the Steelers trouble if they don't put him on his heels?
He can throw that deep ball. I mean, he's got the arm to do it. He hasn't been great connecting with it so far in the
right
two games that he's started. I don't know if you saw it earlier in the week, but I had some extra time and I charted every one of his throws
right
from the last two games. Just the old blue dot, red dot, yellow dot,
Right.
And I did it all on one field because I wanted to see exactly, where his hot and cold spots are. And, one thing I think that stuck out to me is, A, he's not afraid to throw the ball within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage into any area of the field. I'm talking between the hash marks. I'm talking between the hash and the numbers and then outside the numbers. When he gets past 10 yards, however, I think that's where you start to see his problems and probably, A, catching up with the speed of the game. He's not very accurate, and he's not connecting at a good percentage on balls past 10 yards, and especially balls outside the numbers. I would look for him to try to complete a couple of outs on the far sidelines. He seems to like that area past 10 yards down the field, and I think he likes to try to throw outside the numbers past 10 yards as well, too. The other thing I think you're going to see with him is that they've had some problems with him holding on to the football a little bit too long. So expect him to really be dumping that ball off quick. If his first read's not there tonight, Steve, look for him to dump it off to one of the backs or a tight end very, very quickly, because I don't think they want him holding the football tonight very long.
One guy that has stepped up in here it is, the twilight of his career. What have you thought when you break down Brett Kiesel on tape, and what has he meant to when they've had success?
Well, A, he knows where to be on the field. He knows
yep
how to read his keys, most definitely. And the tremendous thing about him is for a guy his age, against the pass, he's still able to get off the ball and provide some push, and I think that's key. He's always been good about getting himself into the passing lane, and a lot of times that doesn't show up on tape, especially if he doesn't bat down a pass or something like that. But it's just one other thing that kind of that you kind of look at, that, you know, him knowing and being able to read the quarterback's eyes as he rushes the quarterback to get into, you know, the throwing lane to make things difficult on opposing quarterbacks. So he's been they've ridden him quite a bit, and he's got a lot of snaps underneath his belt so far this season. I suspect that's going to keep up for the rest of this year because Cam Thomas, the other defensive end that they signed during the offseason, just really hasn't been good at all. Dan McCullers, the rookie out of Tennessee, is going to make the start.
Yep.
Supposedly going to make the start tonight at nose tackle. And Stephon Tuitt really isn't seeing the field yet like we thought he would. So Kiesel's done a tremendous job. And, boy, I mean, what better guy can you have in your locker room as well?
Something that is not talked about enough in football and is not talked enough in the NFL is an overview of sub-packages. You know, they'll talk about, oh, they do this in nickel and dime and so forth, but the overall grouping. When you watch the Steelers defensively and their sub-package, what do you like and where are you concerned?
Well, I mean, it's normally a good sign when they're rolling that nickel out there because, A, it means that the offense is in a second or third long situation, or it's in a 2-minute type drill, or right. The offense is down huge on the scoreboard, and you dictated to them what to do. The thing, you know, that scares me the most sometimes about the Steelers' nickel sub package is oftentimes you don't see them get enough pressure on opposing quarterbacks.
Right.
And you know, I think that's one of the things that I would like to see more of. And I think tonight, I think you'll see Dick LeBeau, even though Dick LeBeau's not one that likes to take chances in close ball games as far as sending the more numbers, and especially on downs where he's not sure whether or not it's going to be a run or a pass, or a quarterback might have to hold on to the football for an extra tick or two. I think against a rookie quarterback like Mettenberger tonight, I bet you will kind of see him take some chances earlier, especially on passing down, especially when the Steelers are in their nickel. So, it's, you know, kind of look for him to send five in situations like that, and maybe show a look that it might not necessarily be the five that he initially shows Mettenberger.
There are a very large number of quarterbacks that have a better than 90 QBR right now. I think there's 22 of them. A lot of that is dink and dunk. That helps the number every single time. The ability to get chunk plays. When you look at Roethlisberger, I mean, to me, that's the separator. Guys that are accurate throwing that deep ball and can really eat up a chunk play. Where does Roethlisberger rate in your mind, Dave, as a guy that does that in this league that separates him from others?
Oh, well, I think it's always been one of the great characteristics of Roethlisberger. And look, sometimes it's not traditional the way he gets them either. You know, it's right. The old, what we like to call just Ben being Ben. But yeah, I mean, you know, I track the stock, you know, or the stat called the Talk Stat that measures explosive plays and turnovers and how important they are in football games. And most definitely, the Steelers rely on getting chunk yardage, as do several other teams in the NFL. Look at Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Look how often that he is not afraid to go downfield to Jordy Nelson or those guys. At times, you know, yes, there are times where you'd like to see Ben be able to go more vertical. And I think, you know, tonight, if the running game is there, I think you will see that. You know, last week against the Jets, they did a good job of kind of playing, you know, some quarters type stuff to keep everything in front of them. And Roethlisberger really doesn't like to throw in the middle of the field around, you know, 14 or 15 yards past the line of scrimmage. So I think that's where they kind of handcuffed him last week. But chunk plays are huge, and where does Roethlisberger rank in that? I would say he would probably be top five, you know, not having the numbers right here in front of me on that, but, you know, might even be higher than that. But as I said, you have guys like Aaron Rodgers who are not afraid to go vertical, and especially, you know, not only outside the numbers but inside the numbers.
Dave, always a pleasure. Appreciate the preview very much. Very informative, as usual.
All right, Steve, let's get a win tonight so we can talk about it.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dave.
All right, my pleasure.
Dave Bryan, SteelerDepot.com. We'll come back and have more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You obsess about the most interesting things.
Well, okay. I'm talking about the upcoming Charleston Classic, where Penn State's involved.
Can we do something first?
All right, go ahead.
Before you get to your latest panic moment.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, since I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, what car are you driving this week?
Well, I am driving a Ford Edge this week, which is perfect in conditions where it gets a little slippery. Now, nothing really helps you on black ice, but when snow flies, all-wheel drive will be very, very handy, especially when you have all-wheel drive and plenty of room for five passengers or more in the Ford Edge that also has a ton of accessory ports as well. Perfect for tailgating, I might add. And also heated seats that heat. How's that? Instead of heated seats. Because you always get uncomfortable when I talk about heated seats.
No, I have no problem talking about heated seats. It's when you're specific and say, my heated seat, it really bothers us. Okay? When it becomes a possessive thing and it makes it sound really, really like it's to the edge of the FCC.
One of the options I really like on the Ford Edge, especially if you're taking the family across country or to warmer climates or wherever, and you're on a long trip, it's lumbar support that you can adjust so you can actually get even more comfortable in the seat on long trips.
I love lumbar support. All right. So that is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Ford Edge, by the way, will be at Sunbury Motors on 4th Street, the North 4th Street Auto Mall. And Ford Edges are fabulous vehicles. And it's even better when you deal with an awesome dealership like the great people at Sunbury Motors. I'm, of course, today's show being brought to you by our more great friends, the great people at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Right. You're struggling with the Charleston basketball tournament. You obsess about the littlest things.
See, all right, first off, this doesn't matter to you. If you were doing the games or you weren't doing the games, you wouldn't worry about this because you'd just go wherever they tell you to go. Me, exactly. On the other hand, I have to plan out for this due to the programming changes that would happen on WKOK for a Penn State basketball game.
Okay. Are you working Friday?
Yes.
Then when you wake up Friday, just program it in.
It's okay. Not that you make it so simple, and it's not.
Look, I mean, I realize you're trying to justify your job here now.
But... One mistake, boy, they're ready to send you out the door.
Okay, I understand that part, but actually it is that simple. Okay, the game starts at 7, they're on at 6:30. Game starts at 9, they're on at 8:30. We're done. Okay, the meeting's over. Anything else we need in the meeting? No. Okay. Do you need us to approve the minutes? What?
I don't know.
I'm just asking you. It's not that hard.
It's a little harder because I have to make sure everything's squared away before game time.
They play at 7. They're on at 6:30. They lose. They play at 9. They're on at 8:30. Meeting's over.
Actually, the Sunday game's the more of a concern for me than the Friday game.
But nobody knows that. It's a tournament. And you'll know after Friday night about that as well. You could program that from home.
But you think my job is simple, don't you?
I do most of it.
Oh. Wow. I'm looking at WKOK.com, and it's Penn State at Charlestown Classic, 12:33, 5:30, or 8:30.
It depends on if you win or lose.
I understand that. And obviously, you narrow it down as the tournament goes on. I get that.
Okay, so, I mean, you don't know until you get there. It's all part of the journey.
But it involves traffic. And I'm not talking about the kind that we're on the roads either.
Tuesday night, it's going to be Akron at 7:30, on at 7. Bucknell will be at 4, on at 3:30. Everything after that is pretty standard. You have times on every game throughout the rest of the season up until the last weekend, up till the last game in March.
All I have to do is get through this weekend. Right?
Then after that, you can go and take your vacation. Go to the Bahamas like you do every year while Sean, Drew, Allie, Cody, Sarah, Mark, myself work.
Strangely, I don't feel bad about it either.
strangely, not having you there, we don't feel bad about it either.
You walked into that one.
Do you have a New Year's Eve? Do you have a New Year's Eve start time yet for Penn State, Wisconsin?
No.
Yeah, that's got three different times right now.
Yeah, I have no idea. Nope.
Are you going to be home in time to celebrate the new year, or do you have to stay in Wisconsin?
I don't know what we're doing about that. We may go from Madison the next day to Rutgers and just do it as one trip, so I may not be home at all. They're talking about that. So that part, I don't know. And they're talking about playing the game at Madison and maybe just staying and then flying the first to New York, practicing there, and then playing the game on the third, then come home after that. So I may be spending New Year's Eve on the road.
Strangely, I don't feel so bad about this coming weekend now. Thanks.
I'm not that concerned about it. it's another day on the calendar. I'm not really that concerned. When you do sports, you have to expect to work some holidays.